Chief Justice David Gilbertson introduced the case and easily found the name of the plaintiff's attorney, but had difficulty finding the defense attorney in the paperwork.
And for the defendants, we have, got too many attorneys here. I'm working on it. There we go. Three pages of attorneys. Must have been a heck of a lawsuit.
It is a heck of a lawsuit at the federal level. It started in November 2016 when SDIF sued in state court seeking repayment of the loan from 8 Tentex-Cota members, and the next day in federal court, Tentex-Cota sued them back. But in the South Dakota Supreme Court, it all boils down to two sides represented by two attorneys, Casey Olivier for the borrowers and Haven Stuck for the lenders. The borrower is Tentex-Cota, and if the LLC was the only entity guaranteeing the loan, the situation would be simpler. But eight men, four of them members of Tentex-Cota and the other four involved in some way with members, guaranteed repayment of the loan. Those members include a couple of familiar names. One of them is Ron Wheeler, who held two positions simultaneously in the late Governor Bill Janklow's cabinet. Another is Big Kenny Alfin, the big half of the country western duo Big and Rich. The eight men did not repay the loan, nor did the LLC Tentex-Cota. Now the lenders want to force those eight men to pay up. Sioux Falls attorney Casey Olivier tells South Dakota justices that Tentex-Cota owns that debt, and she says state law does not allow for members of an LLC to be held liable for the company's debt unless exceptions exist.
Members of a limited liability company are not liable in contract, tort, or otherwise for the debt the company incurs unless there is a liability waiver in the Articles of Organization and the members have consented to that waiver in writing.
Olivier says when the eight men guaranteed the loan of $32.5 million, those exceptions under South Dakota law were not in play.
Our legislature has provided a means by which members of an LLC can become liable. And they have said, yes, you can. You have the freedom to contract, but you have to follow these requirements. Because we have this limited liability shield, you have to have a provision in your articles of organization and a waiver that says that you can sign these guarantees or that shield has not been waived.
Chief Justice Gilbertson asks Olivier if South Dakota statute allows lenders and individual LLC borrowers to make a deal.
So under the South Dakota statute, is there any way a lender can protect itself as far as getting guarantees that are enforceable if this statute's applicable?
Yes, Your Honor. They can require that the LLC amend its articles of organization to provide for that loan and consent to it in writing. It's just providing the proper paperwork.
But what about that word solely? Because that seems to be a limiting word in that statute.
That question comes from retired Justice Lori Wilbur, who has joined the court for the April term, filling the seat left vacant when Justice Stephen Zinter died unexpectedly last October. Wilbur refers to the part of state statute that shields LLC members from being liable for company debts solely in their role as members. Olivier says all members have roles beyond just being placed on a list.
A member's still an agent of the company. So if you're an agent of the company, then solely by being a member is staying, you're still working on behalf of the company. You're still doing things on behalf of the company.
Olivier points out that there is a valid security agreement, credit agreement, and mortgage on the property. So the proper method of enforcing corporate debt falls on the corporation.
The corporation itself is a defendant, and there is a valid judgment now at the district court level against the corporation. We don't have final judgment, and they haven't been able to execute on it, but there has never been an argument in this case that the assets of the corporation will not satisfy the debt owed. They have not moved to foreclose on the credit agreement. They have not moved to foreclose on the mortgage, and those are valid ways for them to collect within the corporate structure.
That's the essence of the borrower's case, as South Dakota law applies. On the lender's side, there's one familiar name, Yop Bolin. His story starts in the early 90s in this state when the South Dakota International Business Institute Dairy Economic Development Program was formed. Bolin was hired as director. Later, the program moved to Northern State University, and Bolin became an employee of NSU. The Business Institute eventually filed to become a regional center for EB-5, managing pooled capital of foreign investors. Federal Judge Charles Kornman wrote in his order leading up to this state action that the South Dakota Regional Center was a for-profit corporation and Bolin was the sole stockholder and officer. At the same time, he was also an employee of NSU, directing the Business Institute. And so Bolin was, for all practical purposes, contracting with himself. Judge Kornman says as he contemplated the tangle of paperwork in this case, quote, "I am reminded of the words of the lyrical Tevye from Fiddler on the Roof, that these matters would be enough to cross a rabbi's eyes. But again, for the Supreme Court's consideration, there are two sides and two lawyers." We've heard from Casey Olivier. The other lawyer is Haven Stuck, attorney for the lenders. Stuck says there are various parts to the state statutes controlling in this argument. One of them, 303A, gives LLC members a shield from liability. He says another, 303C, gives members an opportunity to lower that shield.
303 addresses status-based liability, that's, in other words, liability that's based solely on a member's status as a member. It does not address any contractual liability that would arise from the execution of a guarantee. Defendants spend a lot of time focusing on 303C, and all 303C does is allows those members to opt back into the liability that they were exonerated from in 303A.
He says state law does not require a separate contract for members to be liable. There are two other questions for the Supreme Court to answer. Can plaintiffs recover under the guarantees if the guarantees violate South Dakota law? And if an LLC's operating agreement permits members to personally guarantee corporate debts only by a vote of the majority of the members, can lenders collect if there was no vote? Haven Stuck says the eight men did not sign as members, they signed as individuals, and it's undisputed that they entered into the deal voluntarily.
These guarantees were made by sophisticated businessmen and are valid and enforceable.
The Supreme Court has a lot to ponder and will issue an opinion after it deliberates. Then the case goes back to the federal court, where Judge Kornman will consider the effect of South Dakota law before continuing to trial. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks.